Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
In the celebration of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the way of announcements this morning, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Amen. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website. We invite you there to our website. We pray that you would not only be a prayer partner with us, but that you would also be a big partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Again, not only do we need your prayer support, but we also need your financial support as well. Amen? Amen. If any of you would like information concerning the church, or if you would like someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, or maybe you would like one of us to come visit and minister at one of your churches or one of your programs, again, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Go to the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. Follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 48 hours. Glory to God. Also want to let you know that we have a Facebook page. Please go to our Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Let us know how God is blessing your life. Let us know how this ministry is touching your life as well. We would love to hear from you. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Amen. Let us give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to read a quick scripture. Amen. Go into prayer, and then immediately following that, the next voice you will hear this morning will be none other than our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. If you would, please go to the book of Psalms, chapter 147. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 147. And we're going to read from the first verse down to the seventh verse. Amen. And the word reads as such. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of stars, calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Verse 6. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this opportunity once again to come into your presence to give your name glory. Father, we just don't count it as, we count it as a privilege to be able to say thank you once again. We count it as a privilege, God, to be able to stand before you once again and just say thank you. God, we count it as a privilege just to say that thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. We say thank you for the activity of our limbs, being clothed in our right mind, God. And have a desire to come into the house of the Lord. God, once again, we say thank you. Even now, as your presence is already resting in this house, once again, we say thank you. Father, we ask that you would just begin to move mightily on behalf of the needs of your people. God, we're asking that you would begin to show yourself strong and mighty on behalf of your people. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall do great exploits. God, we believe that you're going to do mighty exploits in our sight. It's marvelous, and we say thank you once again. But now, Father, as the man of God comes, as the apostle comes, on his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, let him speak forth with power. Let him speak forth with anointing. Let him speak forth with the breakers anointing on this morning as he begins to minister the word in love, in joy, in peace. Whatever the need is, God, we ask the Holy Spirit will move accordingly as he sees fit in the name of Jesus. Father, right now we just thank you and we praise you for all. We thank you for every soul. We thank you for every resources. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your privilege. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your deliverance. God, we thank you for your power. We thank you for being able to come into this place once again just to say thank you. We thank you for bringing us out. We thank you for taking us through. We thank you for taking us on the other side. God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Now, let's receive the next of none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen with a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a praise all over the building. Glory to your name. Look at your neighbor. I know that
God has something for me.
I know God has something for me.
Oh, you got to know it. You got to know it. You got to know it. We're so grateful, as I said before, that God has allowed us,
amen,
to have a new location to worship in, amen. And I wanted to this week be with Bishop Garrett and those who are a part of Soul Saving Station in North Carolina. But you can't do so many things at once, amen. It's either get the place together so that we can do what God wants us to do, or go on to North Carolina. And I think the former is the better way to have gone, amen. So we miss them, amen, but we're happy about what God has given us, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we have to be good stewards.
We have to be good stewards.
Over what God has given us.
Over what God has given us.
We have to be good stewards.
We have to be good stewards.
Over what God has given us.
Over what God has given us.
Amen. Give God a praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And so it is that we take our time and we celebrate what God's given us. We've been ministering. The Lord said, I will do a new thing. We not know it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I see what the Lord is doing.
See what he's doing.
If you can't see what the Lord is doing, then you need to open up your eyes, or you need to simply just ask somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, today we're going to get back into the lesson that we have been dealing with. We started talking and dealing with building, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to build.
It's time to build.
Say it again, it's time to build.
It's time to build.
And too often when we start talking about building, what ends up happening is people get nervous. You start talking about building, people start thinking about building funds, and, well, you know, I gave and we helped build this part and we helped build that and we put the seats in, we did this, that, and the other. But God is not talking about building. How many of you know that the church, we come, church is really the people.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The building is the people that come to the location. Amen.
Yes.
And because we know that, then we don't get caught up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get caught up. Because we look at people, and it seems that the more people we have and the more people around, the more successful you should be. I want you to know they fill up stadiums with rock concerts and all kind of other stuff. That's a lot of people. But does that mean that's the way to salvation? No, that means that the marketing went right, advertised right, and people came to be a part of something that was touted as being great. Amen?
Right.
So that does not mean that it's the best. It just means that they did their due diligence in marketing it that way. Amen? And with that being said, we have to understand that God has some things for us, and we don't have to worry about marketing. If God said it, it shall come to pass. You don't have to worry about trying to put it together. When God spoke it, it became something that began to put itself out. How many of you know that when God speaks a word, he begins to work the word? Huh? So you don't have to work it. Amen? Because he said it, it's going to work itself. Amen? We just have to be obedient to that plan. Amen. Now, let's get to this lesson. We have been dealing with Psalms. Amen. 127. Let's turn it right quick. Amen. I love the fact that when God begins to do things, he begins to speak. I want you to be on your guard. I want you to be praying. Amen. Every God begins to do, he starts movement as well. There's never a time where the Lord moves that the enemy doesn't try counter move. Amen. So let's have our hearts and our minds set, amen, for what the enemy is going to try to do. We would ask that you stand for the reading of the word of God out of respect for the word. Psalm 127:1. Amen.
Amen.
Spread on your feet.
We're just going to read one verse here, and then we're going to move from there. Amen. Psalm 127 and 1 simply says this: unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. You may have your seat. Look at your neighbor and just simply say, it's time to build.
Time to build.
Come on, say it again. It's time to build.
It's time to build.
It is an interesting thing, this concept, when we begin to talk and speak about building. Because people have in their hearts and in their mind what it takes to build. Amen. But only the Lord knows what he is doing. He is the architect. He is the one with the blueprint. He is the one with the plan. Amen. And because he is the one who is in control of all of this. Amen. Then that means that the Lord knows what he's trying to accomplish with everything that he's doing. And so it is, as we begin to look at this, we see that here in the Psalms says that it is time to build. That time to build here simply speaks of the design and the plan that God has for his people. Here we talk about the fact that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Amen. But if we just go back just one more chapter to 126, we begin to see, and these are psalms of ascension. Amen. As they will go up to Jerusalem for the feast. Amen. For Passover, and as they hit there, they begin to sing these songs as they would travel along the way. Let's just read a little bit of this. Psalms 126, amen, huh? It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues were singing. Then they said among the nation, the Lord has done great things for them. Say that to your neighbor, the Lord has done great things for them. Third verse, the Lord has done great things for us and we are glad.
Yes, we are.
Bring back our captivity, O God, O Lord, as streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I remember Mother Cleo Rowe up in New York when I would go up for convocation, Soul Saving Station of every nation, amen. When I would go up there, she would sing a song, and I would be on the organ, and she would come up singing, Bringing in the Sheaves. That was her song. She loved that song. We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And see, what's happening here is we begin to look at this passage here and these passages is we see that God is doing something. Amen? When we talk about the Lord building, huh? We're looking at him building the house. Everybody say the house. Say it again, the house. Now, let me show how this works, because when we talk about the house, sometimes we think about the physical structure wherein we have our bed, our couch, our stove, our refrigerator, amen? But we're not talking about that house. The house we're talking about is you, amen? Look at what will happen whenever God begins to move and whenever God begins to build, the enemy starts trying to destroy the house, huh? That's why we will see certain places in the Bible where it says the house of Jacob. Or the house of David. You see what I'm saying? The house is what God is building up here. And when we start looking at the house, then we have to understand there are certain things in the house that God did not design, that just happened to be in the house. I wish we had somebody who would be truthful today and simply say, there is some stuff in my house that shouldn't be there. Because I know we all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. Nobody's perfect. Look at your neighbor and just remind them of that fact.
that nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
I know you want people to think you're as close as you can physically get to it, but guess what? If we just pull back just a little bit and look at you, when you're by yourself, we see that there's some things that you deal with, some things that you fight with, some things that you have trouble with. Amen. But let's thank God for Jesus, who looked beyond all of that and still stretched out his hands and said, I will go to the cross for them. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. When he talks about building up the house, he begins to look at things that he needs to remove from the house so that he can put stuff in the house. I'm just going to simply go into a little bit of this remodeling that we need to do here in this place here. The carpet and the color of the walls doesn't fit the color scheme that we have or that we want. So what we have to do is we have to come in and paint the walls. Amen. We can't keep going on with this right here behind us. We're going to have to do something about this because the former tenants actually had an exhaust fan. Amen. And that's what this is right here. But see, it's not functional because we have AC. There will be no cooking and things going on in here except for when the Holy Ghost comes in and strikes a fire. Amen. Huh? And then there'll be flesh being filleted because it can't be on parade. Amen. So we don't need this. So we have to restructure this. We have to paint this again. Amen. We have to build in different office spaces and different work areas. Amen. Those things have to be built into the house, you see? And so it is when we begin to deal with God and how God is dealing with us. There are certain things that we had. We had that color for our former life. But when Jesus came in, when the Holy Ghost came and he began to indwell in us, he had to move some stuff out the way. He had to get rid of those couches and those chairs. He had to move that refrigerator out. That refrigerator got one shelf in it and one drawer, and it don't keep nothing. It's an old refrigerator and can't keep nothing. Amen. So in order for you to have something that's functional, we got to get rid of what is dysfunctional. God begins then to deal with us and begins to move things out of the way. But I want you to know that you can try as much as you like to deal with what is in the way or what you feel needs to be dealt with. But unless the Lord shows you, the Holy Spirit comes inside and begins to deal with you and tell you what's going on, you're going to have a hard time building the house. So then, the psalmist says here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Right now, billion, multi-billion dollar industry at Barnes & Noble's and Books A Million and the like. And all they're doing is they have all these self-help recipes for people. You know, you got an issue, you got a problem, you got a circumstance, we got a remedy for you. Just go down and self-help and find whatever ails you. And we got somebody who's written a bestseller, and they're walking around with their face on the cover of the book trying to tell you how they overcome something, how they work something out of their life. But see, the problem is that that's you trying to help you. And what we've done is we've learned we've been trained now not to trust in God for nothing. All we're doing now is we're asking our friend or we're asking somebody else, you know, I got a problem with, ooh, I read a book on that. Here, I'm going to borrow this book. That's going to help me because they helped me. You know, I read this book or I heard about this author who read it and who did, and we did all of that. Time you hit your knees and said, like we used to do in the old days, Lord, I'm here. Whatever's in me, take it out. I lay myself before you. Purge me with hyssop and make me clean. When have we said that? We don't say it anymore because we don't want to purge and we don't want to be cleansed. And when we understood that hyssop was like a switch, we didn't want to be chastised. Amen? Huh? But God is trying to get us to the place where we can come before him as his children without spot or blemish. Amen. We were watching, Prophetess and I were watching this show yesterday. And young man was sitting there. He had three wash buckets around him, about three. And he was sitting there wringing them out.
and going through them and scrubbing and wringing them out, going through and scrubbing them. And he was moving it along and looking at it, inspecting and just working. Over in Ghana, they didn't have wash machines like we got here. You know what I'm saying? So he was doing it physically, but he was inspecting it. He was rubbing it. And he was twisting, and he was put back in, working in it, getting it back and looking at it. See, we have lost the integrity. We've lost the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us like that. We used to go in and say, Lord, I'm here before you. We used to lay on the altar and say, I'm here. We don't lay on the altar anymore. I got my hair done. I got my clothes. And, you know, I paid good money for all of this. Yes, you have. But, see, if it hadn't been for him working on you, you wouldn't have that today. Amen. We go back to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Amen. Don't forget it. That is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth. Amen. So he gave you the ability and the strength and the wherewithal to obtain it. And when he gave it to you, he also gave you the ability to maintain it, because God doesn't give you things for you to lose. All right, somebody. But when you go get it, you can lose it. So here you are, you're trying to build up your house, and God ain't in the middle of that plan. So after you have done building it, then it crumbles to the ground. Because the foundation of it wasn't set upon his word. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord wants to build you.
The Lord wants you.
Come on, tell him again, the Lord wants to build you.
The Lord wants to build, the Lord wants to build you.
Now come on, give God a praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to begin to look at what God is doing here and what God is trying to get us to see. We're going to go to, let's go to Exodus. Amen. When God builds a house, Exodus, the 35th chapter. Amen. Let's go down to about the 20th verse. Amen. When God begins to then design the plan for our lives, for the house that he wants to build, which is us, amen. I told you the last time that we would begin to take this apart and we would begin to look at it and understand what God was saying to us and how he was speaking to us, amen. Because we need to understand that when God builds, God doesn't just throw stuff together and hope that it comes into order. God is a God of order. And part of order is designing it from the very beginning. I'm so glad that the life that I live is planned by God. Amen. Nothing about me is happen chance. It didn't just come about and then the Lord decided how he was going to deal with it. Every aspect of my existence has been ordered by the Lord. The Bible even goes on to say these words. It says the steps of a righteous man or ordered by the Lord. Look at your neighbor and just ask the question, are your steps ordered by the Lord?
Are your steps ordered by the Lord?
Oh, you got to ask it. You need to ask it, because people are doing a whole lot of movement, making a whole lot of noise. But most of that stuff has no Jesus involved with it at all. Huh? They're doing a whole lot of stuff because they want people to see them moving, but it has nothing to do with God. You know what? Before I get here, let me show you something. Let's go to Numbers instead. Amen. Numbers, the 14th chapter. At the end of the last session, I began to tell you that there are some enemies, amen, to your building. When you refuse to come into alignment or agreement, amen, how can we walk together except they agree? Huh? When we refuse to hear the prophet or the people or the man, the woman of God, the leadership that God has placed in our life,
you will have a hard time building. Amen. Because the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Amen. Is that the word? So there's things that we want to do and things that we want to see that we believe are the best for us, but God knows better. Which brings us to number three. If God has a plan and we fail to follow the plan, you're going to have a hard time building. Isn't that right? Amen. So when God decides that he's going to build it, he's going to do what he's going to do, God will set in place those who he will use to build. Amen. When we get to Exodus, you'll see that not only did they have a desire to build, but they called for those who were skilled in and the artisans. Amen. Huh? Everybody can't deal with your building process. Amen. Can I say it like this? Everybody ain't happy for your success in God. Huh? And some people who come to help actually came to harm. Here in Numbers 14, we see that there's some issues going up. Amen. Give you a little backdrop here. God is trying to get his nation, his children together, his people together, children of Israel. And as he has brought them out of Egypt, now here they are in the wilderness. They've gotten to the place where they are sending out spies. The spies have gone over, 12 spies, and as they have gone over, they have come back. And 10 of them had a bad report, but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, had the right report. Amen? Huh? So here we go in the 14th verse, starting at the first verse. We see where they have now picked up from that. Now they've heard everybody's due. They heard everybody say what they're going to say. And look what happens. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And let me say something to you. One of the things that we have to be very careful in this day and this time is that we have a lot of opinion. Amen? Let me say that again. We have a lot of opinion. But make sure your opinion lines up with God's plan. Amen? Huh? I'm going to show you why in a minute. Amen. Look what they said. They said, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Huh? So here they are now. They're dealing with the fact that they've been brought out of their bondage. They've been brought out of the captivity. And now they're complaining, saying, if only we had died back in our bondage and back in our captivity. Listen on. Huh? Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's elect a leader and return to Egypt. Let me just stop here. One of the problems that we have is that when God begins to speak to us, the enemy starts talking too. How many of y'all would be realistic and say the devil talks? Yeah. How many of y'all know that God has told you to do something and the enemy got there and started talking reason to you and tried to talk to you right out of what God told you to do? How many of y'all would say amen to that? Huh? So the Lord says, I want you to do A, B, and C. And the enemy says, well, you know, if you do A, B, and C, then you won't have time and you won't be able to do E, F, G. And I don't know. Are we moving too quick? How many times do we hear that? Are we moving too quick? Who came up with this? Well, we've been praying and God showed us that if we do this right here and we'll be able to set that and then we'll be able to go here. I don't know. What's the bank account say? First of all, everyone say focus.
Okay.
Say focus.
Okay.
I'm just going to share this with you. Focus is an acronym. Faith, obedience, huh? Compliance. You see that? Unity and submission. When you have those things, you will be focused. Huh? Your faith will come into obedience. Huh? You'll be able to comply with what God is saying. We'll walk in unity together. Huh? A three-strand cord is not easily broken, so there'll be strength in your unity. Huh?
But that S right there, that submission, means that whatever God says, we're not fighting, we're going to do it. Y'all see that? When we have focus, we can move without murmuring and complaining. And that's what they were lacking here. You see it? They lacked that here in Numbers, because when they came, instead of them coming back together, they came back separated.
Right.
10 of them were together, but they were the wrong 10. Huh? Saying that we can't do it. And when they said we can't do it, they got on the other side of God's plan. I want you to know, God did not bring you here for you to fail. Amen? That is not God's will. Look at your neighbor and say, that ain't God's will. He didn't bring you here for you to fail. He didn't bring you here to your demise. He didn't bring you here so that you couldn't make it. Amen?
Right.
What he did is he brought you to a place, gave you opportunity to succeed and to grow. Now, at that point, you have a decision to make. Will I go through the process as God has planned and designed it? Remember, he knows the end at the very beginning, huh? So if you are going to do it like God says do it, then sometimes it's going to take you through some hills, through some valleys. You're going to have to cross some mountains and go through some deserts and wildernesses. But at the very end, you will come to your expected place at the appointed time, and you will be equipped, amen, to do what you need to do when you get there. Here they are. They're going over there. And you have to understand, the words that they said when they began to talk about this, I wish I had time to really deal with this, amen. But what they said is, we are but grasshoppers in their eyes, in their sight. And so it was, we are in our own eyes. You see that? And when they said that, what they said is, we're nobody, and we can't do nothing compared to them. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, when we started, we didn't start this big. God gave us an edifice that people came and wondered, how did y'all do that? Good to us. Amen? When we came down to Florida, we came down to do what God told us to do. And as we got down here, we found out that there was a lot of traditional and a lot of this, that, and the other. And nobody, that one don't talk to this one. And these ones right here separate from that church and form this organization and that one. And it was just a whole lot of hoo-ha. But wasn't nobody talking and trying to do nothing to build the kingdom. They were so focused on their inward fighting that they didn't have time to really focus on what God wanted them to do. So instantly, as we came down and got ready to set up, the Lord said, hold on, pump the brakes. I want to show you something. Begins to show us where we were. Now, I could go out and say, Lord, look at all these big ministries and everything they got. If the prophets could tell you, we can throw a rock and probably hit prosperity and everything else, ministries that are out here talking and all this other stuff. But you can't find good holiness nowhere. You can't find nobody crying out holy nowhere. No one's preaching the doctrine of righteousness. We hear all kind of other stuff. We see all kind of marketing and advertising ploys, amen? But we don't see anybody really preaching the kingdom of God. They say kingdom, but then they point back to themselves as if they are the kingdom. So we don't see the kingdom of God being preached nowhere, amen? We deal with them the more they try to get us to come over and be part of what we're doing, Doc. You know, if I hear another Doc, I don't know. You know, but the more that we hear and see all of that, the more that we realize that there's an assignment for us. And looking out there at how many they are and how few we are, the first thing that you should think, that you would think, is that we are as grasshoppers. Because that's what they thought. Now, if we think that, then I mean that we are not dealing with the eyesight that God has. Amen? And even if we are dealing with the eyesight that God has, we are not dealing with his perception. Because when the Lord decides that he's going to decimate a land, He organizes his locusts and sends them out, and they decimate the land that they go to. You see that? That means that everything that's green in the field, everything that's coming up, is eaten and taken away and destroyed by those little grasshoppers. So your potential is not to be small, but to be great in the plan that God designed you for. You see it? So while you're trying to talk about, well, it's just a couple, you don't need many. You need one good miracle. You have a hard time keeping your door shut. Amen? Everybody be over there trying to get it because heard about it, but ain't nobody seeing it. Unless you demonstrate it one good time and everybody be trying to get in the door. Can I talk to you? You'll have more Nicodemuses coming by night and rich young rulers, and you know what to shake a stick at. Amen? And the message still has to be the same. I don't care how much money they come in the door with. I don't care what type of influence. I don't care what position they are. The miracle come in and say, the Lord told me to come and be a member of this church. At the moment that they say that, you know, they still have to come in alignment with the word of God. Your position, your wealth, your prosperity, your ability, your social impact cannot sway the gospel. It can never sway the gospel. It has to be that it's gospel or the highway. I hope y'all hear what I'm saying. Because many will come trying to get you moved. Now look at this. We're talking about building, right? So God is trying to build them and move them. And instantly they're complaining. You see that? So they withstood Moses. Huh? And while they withstood Moses, God begins to deal with them. 13th chapter, 33rd verse. There we saw giants. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a giant killer. You got to understand what I'm saying. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. God is going to build you. You got to stop looking through your eyes.
That's true.
And so we were in their sight. Now, let me just deal with that right there, right quick. Because when we get into the 14th chapter, we see that a few, those 10, spoke those words. 14 and 1. Everybody is now reacting to what the 10 said. You see it? So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. She said, if you don't have nothing to say, tear yourself up. God will deal with you harshly. Amen. But not just that, and so we were there. Prophetess and I, we were talking. There are some people that we have been dealing with, things that we have seen, and people look and they have in their mind that we are something else. Which way to come? Which way to go? Amen? We had one of the members said, wherever y'all leave a place, we can look back and see what happened. What's going on? I said, because God sends us on assignment, and when people reject the assignment, then they have to deal with what God does concerning the rejection. Amen? Sometimes God will position you in a place where he can do what he means to do. Amen? But if we see ourselves like grasshoppers, don't think everybody else sees you like that. And so we were in their sight. Let me move on here. The 14th verse or 14th chapter here. The people refuse to go. They refuse to do. If you refuse to allow the Lord to build you, you refuse the assignment that God has given you, you refuse to go where God is sending you, then you're going to have problems later on. Look at your neighbor and say, this isn't about your time. No. This is about your obedience. Look at them again and say, this is not about your timing. This is about your obedience. We're going to go all the way down to the 39th verse because we have to make sure that we have time for this. Amen. The people refuse to go forward. And then God begins to deal with them. Amen. Y'all need to read through that whole 14th chapter. We'll get into the 16th chapter with Korah and them because that's another lesson for another time. Amen. But there's some things we need to take from here. As we are building, we have to understand that there are some things that cannot go into the foundation of what you are building. And when you find something that is not right, we have to restructure the foundation so that it can continue to grow. Amen. Let's read these words. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Doesn't that sound like repentance? Yep. Lord, you told me to go. You told me to do it. I'm going to do it. Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm gone. Lord, I'll say, I told you to go last week. The assignment that I gave you was sitting right there. If you go right now, it's not going to be there. Lord, I'm going to do it now. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just was so scared. I was so feared. Okay, listen, after all is said and done, and now you decide that you want to do it, if you are out of God's timing because of your disobedience, don't think when you decide that you want to do it that God's hand is still going to be upon you. They refuse to go and take the land. They complain. They murmur. They decide they're going to find somebody to take them back to the bondage. Really need to get us somebody to go and lead us back there. And when we get back there, you know, I know we're going to have to work a little harder a couple of years because, you know, Pharaoh and them, they're going to be upset. And, you know, so it's going to be a little rough. But I think we're going to make it. We just got to get back there because they feed us over there. See, you got to understand that a carrot is not a meal. It's just a snack. And many of you, for just a snack, have left the meal. Oh, Lord Jesus, you walked into some stuff that was not meant for you, being led by the trickery of the enemy. Notice that the worm is just something that's wiggling on that hook, just enough to capture your attention. So when you bite on it, the hook is really the meat of that meal. And that hook pulls you somewhere you don't want to go. Amen? See, so here they are. They got everything. But they refuse to go. The promised land, the testimony of the grapes, the milk, the honey that flows in the land. You can have everything that you want. You simply just got to be obedient. Look at your neighbor and just say, you just got to be obedient. And if they had a move, they would have went over there and they would have decimated the land. But they refused to go. And when they refused to go, God begins to chastise them and say, I'm going to kill off all of these. The Bible tells us that those 10 who said that they couldn't go, they shouldn't go, all died by the plague before the people, except for Joshua and Caleb. Amen. Both of them are still alive here. They're going over into the promised land. When God says, I'm going to kill all these people, Moses, I'll make from you people, and they'll be greater than any of these. I'm just so sick of them. But Moses and Aaron came and interceded for the congregation. Interesting what they said is our wives and women and our children will be victims. And God said, because you have said that, those that you said will be victims, I wish I could give y'all the revelation on this, those that you said will be victims will be those who go in and possess the land. The victim that was the victor. I wish I had time. We're going to get to that, amen? So here they decide, we are messed up. Okay, you right, you got it. Okay, now after I heard all that and seen all of that, now I'm ready to go. And they went up. Here we are. We went up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. 41st verse. Let's read on just a little bit. Because if you ain't got time, you out of time. Amen. And Moses said, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. You can't just jump out there and do something when you get ready. When God said, do it, brother, sister, do it. Don't do it when you get ready to do it. Do it when God says do it. You miss the blessing of obedience because you're out of place, you're out of order, and you're out of time. Huh? And Moses said, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up. You see that? It's a reiteration of what he told them before. You missed it. None of y'all going in. Oh, whoa. We don't want to miss our blessing. We're going to go now. We're going to go. Okay. All right. Do not go up lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. And you have to understand when you have few pastors and those who will come in and stir up stuff in the midst, amen, that everybody who doesn't have the vision of leadership, amen, can lead you into your destruction and not your destiny. You see that? Do not go up, for the Lord is not among you, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. Listen to this 44th verse. It says, but they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. In other words, when you decide that you want to do something and you run it and leadership ain't behind it, the covering that God placed over your life is not a part of it. When you get out of there and you begin to run up and try to do it yourself, and because you feel that, you know what, they just don't understand. They hold me back in my ministry and the Lord told me and here I'm going. And you run up out of there and the ark doesn't go. That means the glory of the Lord don't go with you. And Moses didn't go, the one that he assigned over you. You understand? Huh? Then you are out there by yourself. And you'll pray for the enemy. Amen? There's a reason why he calls your pastors and your leaders, amen, your covering. Because we end up taking the blows a lot of times for stuff you never get hit with. A lot of times you never knew the attack came because we intervened or interceded for you. Amen? That means we took the blow that you never got. You understand? So here they are. Neither the ark nor Moses departed from the camp. 45th verse. It says, then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains came down and attacked them and took them back as far as Hormah. Now you have to understand that they have progressed to a certain place. But when the enemy came without the covering of God, it drove them back further than they were to start with. If God is going to build us, it is because we understand the placement and the timing. Amen? We are obedient to what God says to do. Our faith is in alignment. Focus. Faith. Huh? Obedience. Huh? You see that? When you come into it and you're compliant, you're in unity, huh? And you're submitted, then God can build you up. But when you lose focus, you lose his covering. You lose his protection. You lose his guidance. You lose your defense. You see that? All of those things will become subject to the enemy. And I want you to know the enemy don't have problem trying to tear you up. Steal, kill, and destroy. Y'all see that? So when we talk about it's time to build, God's trying to build us. He's trying to build us into those who are obedient to him and his directives for their lives. Brothers and sisters, we can't miss this. This is something that God wants for all of us to do. Come on, rest on your feet. Give God a praise right there. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. We begin to look at this. We begin to see that there are some things that God wants for us. And it's hard. I mean, it is really hard. Sometimes we want to do it the way that we want to do it, and God ain't in the middle of that. God ain't in the middle of your plan. He's in the middle of his plan. We've seen this, he's in the midst of it all, no matter the test, great or small. Though you get weary sometimes, you are never left alone. He's in the midst of it all. And you have to understand that God is still going to be there. But in the middle of it, God has given us directions to come out of it. We can't come out of nothing when we won't listen to the direction. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise right there.
Hallelujah.
Come on, prophet. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. That word was powerful. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you right now for this word. God, we pray and realize and recognize that it is time to build. Father, not only are you concerned about the physical building, but you're concerned about us. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Most High God. You dwell on the inside of us, Father. Help us right now to recognize and lay aside every weight, every sin that we continuously allow to beset us. Father, right now, shift our minds. We shift our minds to recognize the season and the timing that we are in right now, the urgency and the expectancy, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, right now, give your people strength. Give your people wherewithal. Give your people a desire to pursue after you and not complain and not listen to other voices that would lead us to the left or to the right. We thank you. Hallelujah. Right now, just ask right now that you would just begin to open our eyes and let us see as you see that we are not just grasshoppers that are weak and lowly, God, but that we are a mighty army, that once we walk together in unity, we can decimate anything of the enemy's kingdom. Hallelujah. We bless your name and we praise you in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are saying out there, please repeat these words after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Make me whole. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. If we here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you that you will be led back to a spiritual, Bible-believing teaching ministry that's going to mature you and prepare you and build you up in the faith of the kingdom. Amen and amen again. Let us receive a powerful queen once again.
Amen. We're so grateful that you have joined us. You may be seated. We pray that this has been a blessing to you. We ask that you go to our website, www.ctkr.com. Then you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. What is a vision partner? A vision partner is one that helps us to do the work that God has given us to do. They pray with us, financial support, and they help us to do the mission that God has given us to do. We have many churches that are submitted to us, ministries that are submitted to us from Pakistan to Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, amen.
and India. That was the one I was trying to remember. And they call and they say, listen, can you help us? Amen. We need your support. And sometimes it's not physical or monetary support. Sometimes it's just prayer. But there are those who actually need the financial support because they have orphanages and things like that. Over in Pakistan, for them not being a Christian nation, the resources for alms go to those who are Muslim. Amen?
Amen.
So when there are Christians, they look for us to do for our own. Amen. And that's where you and I come in. Amen. So if you could go to our website, www.cktkr. There you can help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that this is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Someone let's give God a praise. Hallelujah.